Well, I promised you early on at the start of the show that I'd be having a visitor today in with me in studio, Dr. Peter Henning, who is a radiologist and a partner of Keystone Medical. And he's in studio with me right now to enlighten us a bit more about particularly this month and what is commemorated in this month of October, which is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And very warm welcome to studio, Dr. Henning.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Thank you for having me here.
Great to have you in studio with me as well. I've been talking about you since the start of the show today, but just tell us a bit more. Who are you? Who is Dr. Peter Henning?
Well, Peter Henning is part of the radiological community of South Africa. We are specialist doctors that look at all the kind of imaging modalities that you will have to make a diagnosis. For example, x-rays, ultrasounds, MRIs, and of course, mammography. So in terms of October month, it's really an important date for our profession, since breast cancer is the most common cancer in the world and globally ranks as the greatest killer of females outside in terms of cancer diagnoses. And because we are the diagnostic specialists that have to interpret mammographic studies, we tend to be the first point of contact for patients when they search to find answers in problems regarding their breast health.
Must be quite rough, I have to say. So what actually inspires your passion for breast health?
Well, you know, I was fortunate enough that a great component of my postgraduate training was at some of the best mammographic facilities in the world. I did a lot of traveling to find out what the correct techniques were. And I think it's a dual inspiration. Firstly, I was inspired by my own family, where we have a very strong history of breast cancer, including my mother that was diagnosed when I was just 13 years old and had to undergo double mastectomies. And stuff like this really takes something personally. And in terms of my professional inspiration, I was privileged enough to attend some of the greatest lecturers' courses across the world, including a course about 2 years ago in Israel that changed my perception of how breast cancer should be treated globally and in South Africa. I think it's quite a pity that we are far lacking behind the rest of the world in terms of the quality of care we give females when it comes to diagnosing breast cancer and the level of treatment we give. With that, I decided to partner up with a very famous oncologist here in Pretoria, and it's Dr. Antonia Kotsaportiko. And with herself and my team, we decided that we want to elevate the quality of diagnosis, the early stage of diagnosis, to something that will be world-class in our town and beyond.
Interesting. And then when do women actually need to start breast screenings?
You know, it's really a difficult question to answer. Everybody will tell you start your mammogram at 40.
Okay.
If you want to be screened. And it's a good idea. You know, if you globally look and you see the figures of breast cancer, there's a steady decline in age and the diagnoses are becoming more at an early age than in the past. And due to radiation being involved with mammography, that is the benchmark to say at age 40 we have to go for a mammogram. But I fervently believe in a very strong rule in medicine that was taught to me by one of my mentors that said, you know, diseases do not read textbooks.
I love that one.
And it is so true. It is unfortunate that in this year alone, I have 5 cases of females below the age of 30.
Below 30?
Yes.
Not even the 40 benchmark?
No. 23 is the youngest, and that was already spread. So so it is really not an age limit. I think it's more an educational, let's call it a dual lead educational way of first examining yourself and then going for help as quickly as possible when you pick up abnormalities. Yeah. And it's not just mammography that you use. You know, we have a variety of tests that we can do, where I think for the younger ladies, the most important thing is ultrasound evaluation, which does not have radiation. And it's also safe during pregnancy. So ultimately, if you ask me, when should you receive a screening test to see whether you have breast cancer? It would be as soon as you yourself detect changes in your breast, which may be worrying. Then you can come into one of our specialist units and we can have a look and make sure that there's nothing that you have to be worried about.
All right. Now, I want us, before we go to just a short break and take a song, I want somebody that's listening right now. This is not to scare you. I just want to clarify this. This is not to scare you. We're raising awareness about how serious this case is. I was just talking to Dr. Henning earlier on and just telling him, I'm so afraid to find out the worst. And I think it's human nature, like you were saying. Generally, you don't want to see that something's going wrong with you. It's a natural thing. So I want, I was talking to Dr. Henning earlier on and let me put it that way, they're giving away two mammograms, right? Mammogram, is that what you call it?
Yes. Mammogram studies, yes.
Yes.
You can always say we will take two patients, indigent patients that cannot afford it, and we will take them through the journey and make sure that they're safe and there's nothing to be worried about.
So if you're listening right now and you would like to be one of those two patients, please do drop us a WhatsApp now in the next few minutes and tell us exactly why. And then we're going to choose two people and tell you who you are and how you can actually go about redeeming this particular thing. Thank you so much. But we're going to come back and deal with more questions. Just have more insightful conversations with Dr. Henning about this month. That's Carol Fransman coming out with What You Did. Brings us to 27 minutes past one. So excited to see already there's WhatsApps coming through. So also, if you'd like to have that mammogram screening, do send through your WhatsApp to 071-3640376. That's 071-3640376. Alternatively, drop me an SMS on 34350. And you might just be one of the people chosen to go through it. So I was talking to Dr. Henning a bit earlier on, just talking about Breast Cancer Awareness Month. That's what we're all about, and the importance of being screened for this. And it just popped in my head, Dr. Henning. I've heard of a situation, I don't know how true it is, but I want to ask you about this, because I'm thinking, if we're talking about breast cancer, we're thinking women, because women have breast. Is it possible for men to actually have breast cancer?
Yes, it is. Unfortunately, we do see male breast cancer. It's quite rare. You don't see it as often as females, by far not as common.
Okay.
To give you an idea, for every 1,000 of females in the world that will get a breast cancer diagnosis, only one male will. But I mean, it is still quite a significant percentage. And I think it's a misconception that men cannot get breast cancer. Yeah, I was just telling you about one of my patients that I diagnosed on about a month ago. Her father incidentally died of breast cancer. And although there's no genetic link between that has been proven, it was unfortunately a familial-based cancer if you look at it in that sense.
Exactly.
Yes, and I think the reason why, and it is definitely increasing in incidence in the world, that we see quite often now, if you look cross-border in the world and see the incidence of male breast cancer, it is increasing. And one of the reasons being the amount of hormonal exposure that not just males and females get these days through our water, food sources, medication. And our breast cancer units do a lot of screening for men for a very common condition called gynecomastia, which is basically enlarged male breast tissue. Now, if you present with enlarged male breast tissue, it is always recommended that you go and see your doctor, because it's an abnormal condition that is in most instances from exogenous, meaning out of your body hormone exposure, making your breast tissue grow. So out of your body can also mean that it's from a source which should not be in your body, such as a cancer. So we always recommend, if you're male and you feel abnormal growth in your breasts, better come and get screened. We do that quite often. The procedure is very much the same for male and female. Yes, luckily, we can say that in most instances it will not be cancer, but other conditions that may preclude cancer that needs to be excluded.
Oh, so please be on the lookout. This one is for you men as well. So what are some of the most common myths around mammograms and breast cancer?
Oh, there are quite a few, you know, and I think my favorite of everything will definitely be when people ask me whether a mammogram is painful or not. You know,
but is it?
No. I can open a wager to Pretoria. If you've had a painful mammogram, come to my unit and I will disprove to you that it is painful.
Something was done wrong.
Yes. Now, the quality of the person that does the mammogram will determine whether it's painful or not. And I mean, I've had the privilege of working in different units, and I always do a customer satisfaction questionnaire on all my patients. And this year we had two patients out of the whole year, which we do about 20 to 30 mammograms a day. We had only two patients that said it was quite uncomfortable and painful. And in both instances, it was because they had underlying disease in their breast. So 99 out of 100 patients will say, I was misinformed by the procedure. Two reasons, one being the fact that in the past it was done by general personnel, while in our units we utilize specialized mammographic personnel. They've been trained and picked as the best in their field, and that basically determines how painful it will be. And the second thing will be technology has improved. These days, the latest mammographic machines have self-limiting compression styles that prevent added pressure that's unnecessary to be put onto your breast when it's put in the machine. You know, it's a common myth that we see. You know, quite some few other ones. Yeah, like one of the other ones, we've already discussed the male myth that that happens. And for some reason, so many people ask me whether alcohol is not linked to breast cancer. Well, there is a slight proven scientific increase in breast cancer among alcohol abusers. But I think that, in my personal opinion, will be more related to a lifestyle rather than just
true.
A single thing.
True.
You know, for example, you get more throat cancer in alcohol people, not because alcoholism, not because they get physical damage to their throat. It's simply because alcohol abusers tend to smoke more, and smoking is actually the related cause to that. You understand? So you have to take more factors into account than just the simple statements. And another myth that's quite important to me to exclude is that a lot of females will tell me my previous mammogram was normal and I don't have to repeat it annually. Well, yeah, it is really a point of contention that I feel quite strong about. I've built up a case of 12 patients this year that had normal mammograms last year.
Sure. And with
12 patients, 4 of the 12 had breast cancer. The other patients had precursors to breast cancer, but the way we picked it up was by seeing changes that was not there the previous year.
All right.
Now, if you pick up minute changes like that, and this is really important, it means that there is no spread of that cancer. It's localized into that area that the change happens. Not one of those females lost their breasts. They were all medically treated and diligently followed up. So by doing regular mammographic screening, you first of all prevent losing your breast, which is important. And then secondly, it will prolong your life because the treatment for early breast cancer has advanced tremendously the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay, speaking of that, just probably a myth as well. The link between breast cancer, maybe survivor, and breastfeeding, what are the chances of one being able to breastfeed thereafter? That question I have asked myself, so I don't. That's how misinformed about it I am too.
You don't have to feel misinformed. It's actually a difficult question to answer.
Okay.
No, it's a simple case of how was the breast cancer treated? If you had a full mastectomy and you lost your breast, you won't be able to breastfeed naturally.
Definitely.
And the level of invasive surgery or radiation will damage the ducts inside your breast. So it again comes back to the fact that if you have been picked up really early, they were able to just remove the focus of cancer, and you had probably medical treatment instead of radiation treatment as adjunct to surgery, there's no reason for you not to breastfeed. I see, breast cancer, a lot of people, they create this idea of, oh, I have this cancer in my breast and it needs to be removed. But you must see it as my description to my patients will be, that is the colony where you have your little workers. And even though you have localized breast disease in your brain, in your breast, you have a localized cancer. There's actually hundreds of workers spread all across your body. And at one stage, your body is recompleting and absorbing that cancer and destroying it. So even if you take away the focus, the colony, you still have to nitpick all the small workers in the body. And that's why you have to systemically treat breast cancer, even before you think of treating it surgically. Room for both, and definitely both need to be done. But it's important to understand that breast cancer is not a localized disease. It's what we call a systemic disease because it's a process of genetic change that undergoes all your cells, not just the cells at which the cancer is.
All right. And also another question I have for you. What can a lady actually expect when going for a first mammogram?
Okay, well, you see, that is where I think I can honestly say that I'm really proud of my team, and I wish my team was here to answer that because they really understand the way in which breast care should be done. First of all, if you go for your mammogram, it's important to note that it's 50% educational and 50% procedural. It is really important that every patient must form a relationship between the mammographer, which is a qualified radiographer, and a sonographer, which will do the ultrasound following the mammogram. So typically our procedure will be that we'll ask you to undress from your waist up in a very private area. And I really feel strong about the fact that we have all female staff and that we keep our mammographic units, in a private environment where women will feel safe. Then one of our mammographers will perform the mammogram and explain the whole procedure to you. With that, she will also make sure that you understand how to self-examine, because 20% of all cancers are picked up by females themselves, feeling a lump and a change in the breast. So that is a process which I feel is really important that we educate our patient into how to undergo the procedure and how to make sure that you feel changes in your own breasts. Then the image, which is a high-resolution, high-quality image of your breast, both two-dimensional and three-dimensional with tomography, will be sent to a radiologist such as myself. We then interpret the image while the patient is having a sonar done on her breast. The reason why we do sonar with mammogram is because it's mammography and tomography. It's because it's been proven to yield a higher diagnosis of breast cancer compared to just mammography. So we do, you can try 100 ways around it. More is always better. And a sonar is a very safe way to do it. Now, while the sonar is being performed at our facilities, all the results will be communicated to the patient. She will have a one-on-one session with the doctor and basically three people, the mammographer, the sonographer, and the radiologist will have looked through her images, listened to her story, and made sure that nothing is missed. Then she'll be booked for a follow-up appointment and make sure that there's adequate follow-up according to her needs.
Interesting. So one of your goals is to actually make breast screening accessible to all women. How do you do that?
Oh, yeah. We are very excited to have an advanced mobile mammographic unit. It is the first of its kind in South Africa. Now, you do get Pink Drive, which everybody knows, which I think it's a lovely initiative.
Yeah.
We took a concept such as that, but we changed it into a more upmarket corporate type of facility that will service your medical aid patients and in the process form the basis of having enough income to start to serve our indigent patients in this country. So it's almost like a public-private enterprise kind of idea that we have. And luckily, in partnership and collaboration with great corporate sponsorships that really support us in this initiative. And there I would really say that Siemens came to the party. And, they are really invested in women's healthcare. And with them currently, we are screening the Siemens South Africa staff at their facility in Midrand. And it's so convenient because you get to, during your work hours, go out, make sure you don't have anything to be worried about, and it's no inconvenience on your life. Yeah, and we're taking this initiative around the country. We've just been to Potchefstroom, where it was quite successfully received. And yes, from here, we're just going to go and make sure South Africa is safe.
That's beautiful. So where can people actually get more information about breast health and mammograms or schedule an appointment?
Well, our web-based system is probably the easiest and best way, and that can be accessed at it's ks-med, so keystonemed.co.za. That's where you'll find all our information, and all the everything I spoke about today is actually in our blogs. We have an extensive blog ranging from topics such as polycystic ovarian syndrome and as well as topics like shoulder pain and that, and it's written by my own staff. So these are ladies that do the work every day. It's not just a farm suck from the internet. It's scientifically validated data, and that is how we make sure that our patients get more information available than probably you would get from any other practice, simply because we are quite academically focused.
Interesting. Thank you so much. Anything else you'd like to add?
Yes. For Pretoria, you know, we have just been to Northwest, and we're currently in Midrand, and our next stop will be at Morletta Park on the 30th of November.
Right next door to us, actually.
Yes, quite close by. They're at Heart City. We will be doing screening over there and expanding to the east a bit.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much for coming through. Renate and Charlotte are our two winners for today that are definitely going to pop in. And again, can you give us contact details on how we can actually link with you?
Certainly. I think the best way would be either via the website ks-met.co.za, or you can contact us on our telephone number, which I will just have to look up by myself because I don't even have my own telephone number.
It's all right. You've got a lot to deal with, actually. You deal with a lot.
I think the best way is if people take our personal contact number for the mobile unit, which is the one that we have here.
All right.
It's 012-543-0034.
That's 012-543-0043.
34.
34. Yes. All right. Definitely we'll send it to our winners for today. Thank you so much, Dr. Henning, for coming through. Really appreciate it. It was eye-opening for myself as well, and I'm finally going to brave it up.
Thank you very much, and I hope to see you at our unit soon.
Definitely. Bless you then. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.